We're still studying this idea that you've always been a vessel for deity, a never a separate identity. Let's go this time to Ezekiel. Well, yeah, let's go to Ezekiel 36. Start in verse 16. This was written in 586 B.C. So Ezekiel heard from God and saw from the top down. Verse 16, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way.
You're in chapter 36:16.
Where are you?
He stopped early.
He was in the wrong book.
Entirely.
He never had a test.
All right, starting 17. Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their own doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way and according to their doings I judged them. And when they entered into the unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. Do you understand what that one means? You profane his name when you go into, when you're in the people, in the land, and you're doing the same thing everybody else is. You esteem the same things they esteem, you fear the same things they fear. You want the same things they want. There's no difference between you and the Gentiles. Okay? So that's how you profane his name. And then eventually you profane his name by putting his God's name on self-seeking. And that's the, from God's standpoint, that's got to be the worst. Because you take the curse and sanctify it. Anyway, all right, now, but I had pity for my holy names, for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine own holy name's sake, for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. And I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. So even then, 586 BC, Ezekiel saw. Let's go to Job 42. Right before Psalms. 42. 42. What
are you? I was thinking. Be 22 years or so before I'd be 100 years old. It's a little abstract.
What?
Well, this is 42 is the year I was born, and to make it to 2042, that's a long way off. It really means nothing in the context of what we're talking about.
I'm sorry I asked.
No, I'm sorry to do that.
And then 42 verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Hallelujah. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. The same, you will abhor yourself for the iniquities and idolatry that you've been doing in his name, because you've seen yourself as an independent self. No matter how much we say it, you really don't believe that Jesus Christ is in you. And it's his vessel now. It's not yours. So you're always concerned about what you're going to do next and what's going to happen this and what's going to happen there, instead of, boom, his life manifested. Amen? Now I'm going to ask you what you're doing.
This gap between the knowledge of him, which sometimes satisfies the mind because we know about him, and we kind of stop there. It was like yesterday when I was saying how we go down into Egypt, but not by my mouth. Without that transaction, which causes oneness, you're no longer separate. But I think because of deception of the mind, you've said words to the effect that you understand, but then you're satisfied with the words and not the reality.
Amen.
And that's what I'm seeing here. It's like, it don't matter that you know this stuff.
It has no meaning.
You are this stuff. And that,
to be in his name is to be in his name.
Be in his name, that's right.
Not be in his label. All right.
Well, I think that's the position a lot of these people walked in, because they weren't like unholy people. They were doing, casting out demons or whatever.
No, they are unholy people.
No, I mean in their own thinking about what they're doing and stuff.
Oh, yeah, but that doesn't matter what you think.
I know, but it's the appearance. They have the appearance of holiness, but they're whitewashed sepulchers, in fact.
All right. Well, we could go all over the place. It's this idea that there's no, I mean, that Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Maybe this will finalize it. Chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I don't know yet where. Yeah, let's start in verse 20. And we may skip around in 15 because there's so much in it. Verse 20, but now is Christ, start in 19, excuse me. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Which is an incredible statement. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that were dead. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, this is why there's only two generations. There's a generation of Adam and the generation of Christ. Otherwise, we would, and it's two because the generation of Adam was under the curse and could do nothing about it. The generation of Christ it's all finished. So, all right, let's go now to it's starting 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. That power there is that dunamis, the sure, 100% guaranteed ability. You just abandon yourself and see his work. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So God only sees Adam in Christ. He's the last Adam. If he's the last Adam, who are you? Amen?
Last Adam.
Howbeit that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. First and second. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. This I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be transfigured or changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be transfigured, metamorphosed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, O death, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O Hades, as we know, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, the mystery of the labor or work, it doesn't lead you anymore, it follows you. That's humongous. I promise you, most anxiety comes from the idea that something is about something in the future. I'm not prepared. I can't finish. I don't have enough money. Whatever it is. So the works and that anxiety comes from the idea that something is leading you to a point. And then you have your mind accusing you. Anybody know how that works? So I just want you to see the totality of the salvation. It's the totality of the death of Adam and the totality of salvation in terms of what is finished. But you have to, you got to leave behind all of the devices that you used in your whole, in your previous life. Because no matter what you call those devices, from God's standpoint, they're all witchcraft. Let's look at that one quick time. Go to Deuteronomy 18, maybe, or 13, or something. Yeah, it's 18. Deuteronomy 18, starting in verse 9.
You can't do witchcraft outside of time. You have to be in time to do that.
Amen. But your mind can't exist outside of time.
Yeah.
That's why we have the mind of Christ. As long as you're using your mind, you first of all, you don't have the mind of Christ, and you're not in the mercy seat.
I had an interesting, to me, revelation last night watching a boxing match, and these guys are just fighting and everything. And it's like, that is so in the moment. You know, it's like there's no past, there's no future, there's only what's happening right now. May hit or get hit, but it's instant. There's just something, you know, it's like seeing Christ is all in all, and it was amazing.
But see, one more thing. See in the ring, the boxing match, and see that you lost, in fact, were killed in the match. So there's no more struggle. There's no more fight. You lost.
Got knocked out.
Not only knocked out, knocked dead. So there's no more struggle. All right. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Now, everything from the beginning of your life, from the moment when you've learned how to think, you've learned to put words and sentences together to describe things, but everything about it we've learned to do after the abominations of wherever we were born, That's mind-bending. I couldn't believe it when I first saw this. That everything that I had learned and everything that I had thought was right and everything, every idea, was just crap. It was just witchcraft. trying to accomplish something. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire. Now, what does that mean? You pass your children through the fire when you teach them the value systems that you were taught by your parents. And that's all we are capable of doing. The only difference is what I did when I had any influence over the kids, I taught them to rebel or encourage their rebellion. Does that make sense? Do you understand what it means to pass your son and daughter through the fire? It's all that the human race is capable of doing. And you can say, well, what are the alternatives? Well, the point is you have to be passed through the fire. That has to happen up to the point so they have the capacity to see all flesh is grass. All ideas are crap. Amen?
Yeah, I was thinking of the Bar Mitzvah at 13, where you become a son of the law. And it's like the perfect transition. You got to know the law, or you don't know the other side. It's like at one point we determined that we can't survive without being passed through the fires, and that we have to live.
Right, you couldn't walk across the street.
Yeah.
Without the high place activities.
Right. And then we got a lot to repent of when we wake up.
All right, watch. Thou shalt not learn... Okay, well, I said that. In verse 10, thou shalt not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination. Anybody use divination? Anybody not use divination?
It's your mind.
All these things are what your mind does by nature. This is why you can't use your mind. Or an observer of times. Or an enchanter. Or a witch. Or a charmer. Or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before you. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto the observers of times and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. And the Lord God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, and unto him ye shall hearken. I count to both. He's the brethren. This is why the Trinity is so critical. This is why the virgin birth had to be. Otherwise, we'd be just, all these things would just be ideals. There would be no way that's complete. You have to try to follow the way. And that's what most people do. How's that work out? It doesn't. Well, the necromancy is in the obvious thing is like what Benny Hinn has done over the grave of Catherine Kuhlman. He goes to the grave of Catherine Kuhlman because he feels the anointing there. Now, how do we do necromancy? That we internally do it when we think about the dead and what they did or said.
Or worship our own deadness and entertain our fantasies of old or memories or
same thing.
Stuff like that.
I mean, they're just, everything is. Everything
the good
is.
Old days.
In the good old days. Boy, back in those days.
Yeah, those good old days.
And that's how we got.
All right, well, I'm not going to talk about, I'm going to assume everybody perfectly understands the idea that you've always been a vessel, you've never been an independent self. Everybody, can you accept that for now?
This is your assumption.
What?
This is your assumption, we're going to hold you to it.
Yeah, well, I'm divided. The vital, the opposite is true. Your silence will convict you if you're not. All right, take it, big guy.